Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Tim, how you doing, man?
What's happening? Yeah, things starting to heat up a little bit out there in Vegas, for sure.
So, Tim, give me your opinion on what the Brewers, first and foremost, need.
The need is an infielder, and Craig Counsell talked about that last night. He was on MLB Network, and we on our show in Milwaukee on the Hot Stove Show, we had aired that. And he used the word need, and I thought that was interesting, Bill, that, you know, the infielder. Now, he didn't say a second baseman. He just said an infielder. And I think they're in a little bit of a catbird seat in that, you know, if a deal comes along for a third baseman, I think it's fully acceptable for them to go back to Travis Shaw and say, hey, man, we got a third baseman. You're going to be our second baseman. And then you look at, you know, how that's going to fit in. His versatility provides them, you know, more options. It really does. And Travis Shaw is a guy that's under team control. He's got 2-3 years left, and he's going to be a Brewer. 64-odd home runs and 180 RBIs in the last couple of years. A big-time asset for the team. And it's even a little bit bigger of an asset when you know his flexibility to go from third to second. Or for that matter, Bill, let's face it, he's originally, as a baseball player in his younger days, a first baseman. So, I mean, if something happens where they get blown away by a Zeus offer, you got Thames still over there at first on a contract year, and maybe Shaw's your first baseman of the future, and you fill from there. So, and that, to me, is the biggest need, solely because I heard Craig Counsell say it last night.
So I guess the next question then becomes, if you're going to say your starting infield next year would look like what?
Well, it's Shaw at third for now, and then that's where it's going to have to stay. And then it's Arcia, and Zeus is going to be at first, and that's second base. You know, they're going to have to fill that hole, and that's why the word need was there, because do you want Hernán Pérez as a 145, 150 game guy? Some say give him a shot, and you might be blown away by what he does for you. But I don't think that is their situation. And the other curveball here, Bill, is that, you know, they've got middle infielders on the verge. The Keston Hira,
right.
He's not going to break camp. It doesn't appear. And I could see, you know, worst case for him. And the team, if they don't get a second baseman, is having Keston Hira June 1st. But Dubon is coming through the pipeline, so they've got options there. So you just don't know if it's LeMahieu, if it's Daniel Murphy, and there's some names, and we'll see how this year's free agent crop, you know, plays out as we move forward.
One of the big talks in the offseason, going into the offseason, was pitching. And I agree with you that the need for a second baseman, or if you take Travis Shaw to third and put him over at second, then you would obviously have a third baseman. But there's still not a lot of talk. I mean, I know they want Jesus over at first base, but he had a lot of power. I mean, I know Craig Counsell says, well, the numbers all even out. That's true. But at the end of the season, he wasn't an asset. He was a detriment. Do you need to pick up another first baseman? And I'm not talking about having Eric Thames as a bat off the bench.
I don't think you need that. Yeah, not quite yet. I'm okay with allowing Zeus to move forward and see what you got and provide some clarity. But as you mentioned, Eric Thames is right there. And I can't rule out the fact that Eric Thames was humbled something fierce last year. Yeah, he had the thumb injury early on in the season, so that put him on the shelf 6 to 8 weeks, and he never ever fully recovered. And then when he was fully healthy, you know, you weren't going to take Zeus. He had MVP type numbers the first half. So, however, I could see Eric Thames being a different kind of guy. For those that think, you know, players play better or whatever, I understand it on a contract year. If you say, well, it's a contract year, this guy's going to ball out for a while. He wants to get paid, et cetera. So who cares how he gets to where he gets to? I can't rule that out, but I'm pretty good with Zeus and Thames. The coverage at first is fine. And, you know, furthermore, if you go three deep, there's always Ryan Braun over there.
Mm-hmm. I'm not that I'm a big fan of Ryan Braun moving over to first base. I like what they did with the outfield last year. I like going back to what David Stern said at the beginning of the season when we talked to him down in spring training, basically saying, look, there's 2,500 at-bats. Everybody's going to get theirs. And sure enough, they did. So I don't have a problem with Ryan Braun staying in the outfield the way they managed him last year, which I think they're going to have to continually do throughout, you know, his his tenure. You know, they're going to have to. He's probably going to be a 120 game guy, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. You're going to have to manage some of the injuries. You're going to have to manage some of the soft tissue stuff, and that's going to be him. I think that's the realization. But if you can get the offensive productivity to where you can get anywhere from 270 to 285 out of him, I'm not looking for the 310, 320 Ryan Braun anymore. But if you can get to 275, 280, 285 even, I think you're golden right there with what you have in the outfield.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I think Ryan Braun is still an asset to this baseball team. And forget about the money. Yeah, the money's there. And either way, you're gonna pay that money. But in my book, when I envision this, at least the offensive lineup, Lorenzo Cain changed his style just a little bit because he was batting leadoff. When you pack Braun in there and you do the flow chart here, Bill, and just – you know, let's say it's Keston Hira at some point soon, mid-season, whatever. Keston Hira as a leadoff hitter. Kane's your two. Yelich is your three. Zeus is your four. And you're going Braun and Shaw, five and six, down middle and deeper. I really like that situation. But again, are you going to go with a leadoff hitter of... you know, fill in the blank there. That's the biggest thing. Ryan Braun's your five or six hitter, you're in good shape. I still believe that.
So how much pitching does this team need in your eyes?
I was just having a conversation last night about that, and I don't think it's a lot. I really don't. Pitching wins, I understand. Pitching and defense. The way they manage their pitching staff, I think, was amazing last year. It was confusing to all of us at certain times. You know, you get a guy rolling, Chacin or whoever it might be, fill in the blank, and he's through four and two-thirds of two-run, five-hit baseball. And most, you know, 98% out of 100 managers are going to say, hey, let this guy go, man. Nope. They looked at matchups. They said, well, you good. You got your 15, 14, 16, 17 outs. You're good. Do you need that guy? And we say need in a strong sense. Do you need? Would it be nice to have Kluber? Sure. Anyone would take him. There's a guy that you say, hey, roll in the ball and say, go out and pitch seven and a third, seven and two-thirds, and we'll zip it up at the back end from there. But the way they handle these guys, they're still going to be competitive in my book. When you roll a Chase out there and he gets you 15 outs, he gets you through the fifth, that's the way this team is going to roll, it looks like.
Before I let you go, Tim, so going into next season, I know that they've changed some things. They've obviously had some changeover in the coaching staff. It's tough. Baseball is tough to repeat the same thing you did the year before. So I'm not sitting here to ask about expectations, but I think this is a different task going into spring training this year than the last few years, because just the coaching changes that have taken place and some of the coaching changes that are inexplicable, I think it's going to be a different season this year. I don't know if it's going to be better or worse, but I think it's going to have a little bit of a different feel to it.
It will have a different feel, and Craig Counsell warned us about that after 2017 when – you know, all the chatter was, well, with the fun vibe that this group of players has. And I remember this, that he said, you know, what a fun season at Miller Park. This was in 2017 after they come up one game short. But he warned us, the caveat was at that time, that this is a different group of guys. They got to find their own identity. It's going to be different. It's not going to be the same. So that being said, you're right. The mindset has to change a little bit. Is it going to be run the gauntlet? They figured out a way, Bill. They figured out a way to have a new identity in 2018 from 17. And you're right. And going into 19 here, they're going to have to find something else, whatever that is. Maybe that's a swagger that we are good and we can compete with the big boys instead of this fun-loving bunch that, you know, this adorable little brother. Maybe it's, hey, man, we are good, we know it, and now it's time to prove it. I don't know which direction it's going to go, but it will definitely be different.
Good stuff as always, pal. We will talk again real soon, okay?
Yeah, Bill, no problem.
Thanks, Tim. Talk to you later. There you go. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show and Hot Stove Weekly right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan out of Milwaukee, the flagship station. You can hear that every Monday evening right after the Lodge Kohler kickoff. And then Tim, obviously, after each and every Brewers game as well. But he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.